I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to begin reading at verse 17 of this chapter and then read through verse 1 of chapter 4. Philippians 3, beginning at verse 17. What we hear now is God's Word. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame, their minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body, by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you also to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals, to the Heidelberg Catechism section in the back, and Lord's Day 18. That is found on page 24 and 25. 24 and 25. Tonight, I will read the questions and ask you to respond with the answers from Lord's Day 18. Question 46. What do you mean by saying, He ascended into heaven? But isn't Christ with us until the end of the world, as He promised us? If His humanity is not present wherever His divinity is, then aren't the two natures of Christ separated from each other? How does Christ's ascension into heaven benefit us? Well, children, tonight is Ascension Day. It's Ascension Evening. Maybe if I asked you today in school, did you sing any particular Ascension Day carols? Did you have any Ascension Day art projects? Was Ascension Day even mentioned in your schooling today? Ascension Day, it seems, often gets overlooked in the Christian year. We know when Christmas is. We celebrate Good Friday and Easter. But I suspect if you asked most people what today was, they would tell you it's the beginning of the Tulip Festival in Orange City. That would be their answer, rather than the Ascension. But children, I am excited to be here tonight with you because it is Ascension Day. Ascension Day is a glorious day in the life of Christ. And it is a glorious day in the life of every believer. Ascension Day should be important to us. It was certainly important to the writers of our catechism. We read through Lord's Day 18. It is one of the most theological sections of the Heidelberg Catechism. And even just look at the sheer numbers involved with regard to the Ascension. The Catechism gives us 4 questions and answers, and long ones at that. With regard to Christ's incarnation, Christmas, we have 2 questions and answers. With regard to Easter, we saw 1 question and answer. But the Ascension, 4 long questions and answers in the Catechism. Obviously, it was important to the writers. It was important to the church at the time. Now, some of that, of course, is due to the fact that there was a particular controversy going on, which is why this section tends to be more heavily theological. What was the nature of Christ's bodily presence now that he had gone into heaven? And there was a difference between the Calvinists and the Lutherans on that point. A difference that manifested itself in their understanding of Christ's presence at the Lord's table. The Calvinists said, and I would say rightly, that Christ is spiritually present in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The Lutherans used the language that Christ is in, with, and under the bread. He is somehow still bodily here on earth. And that was the point of contention between the Lutherans and the Calvinists, which is why this clearly says that he went up into heaven. He is no longer here anymore. Now tonight, as much as you might enjoy it, we're not going to have a theological lecture on the nature of Christ's physical presence and his presence here on earth. But we are going to focus on question and answer 49. The question the Catechism always seems to bring us back to. How does this benefit you? Why is it we are here tonight? What is it that we celebrate tonight? What is the significance of the Ascension in the life of the believer? And we see the Catechism gives us 3 benefits that overflow to us. We will look at each one of those benefits, not in the order the Catechism gives them to us. We're going to start with the second one, and then go to the first one, and then the third one. Our confession reminds us that Christ's ascension is important. It's a benefit to us because we have our own flesh in heaven. Christ physically, bodily, ascended to heaven. You know, it's easy for us to think that Christ, who was pre-existent with God through all eternity, at a particular point in time in the incarnation, took on flesh and blood and became bodily. And it's easy to think that therefore, when he ascended back to heaven, that somehow he was no longer bodily, but returned to the spiritual nature he had before. That's not the case. The incarnation is an ongoing state. Christ did not put off his body. Christ did not go simply spiritually back into heaven. But he bodily, physically went to heaven. Oh, to be sure, it was a glorified body. Our text says that. Verse 21, like his glorious body. It was a changed body. It was a transformed body. But it was still a body. Christ bodily went to heaven. And where Christ goes, His people will follow. Christ, as the King and head of His church, will lead His body, the church, to be with Him. Christ, as the head of the church, sets the direction for the church. You know, children, when you're walking, it's really important to watch where you're going. Your head leads the direction you're going in. Because if you're looking the wrong way and you walk, you might bump into something. Your head sets the direction. You lead where your head goes. Christ is the head of the church. And He bodily went to heaven, ascended once again from earth back to the heavenlies. As a reminder to us, as a guarantee to us, that's our future. Our future is to be bodily in heaven with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not this earthly body, but a glorified body. Again, verse 21, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorified body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. We will be transformed. Our end is not the grave. Our end is not the dust. But our end is with God in heaven. Now, how does that all go? What's the nature of that glorified body? Well, Paul elsewhere speaks of that. He doesn't give us all the answers we'd like to know. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he speaks about that resurrected body. He says in verse 35, but someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as He has chosen, and to every kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another kind. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, and stars differ from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown perishable, what is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. We have our own flesh in heaven itself. Jesus Christ bodily went from earth back to heaven as the King and head of His church. And where the head goes, the body, the believers, will follow. Our destiny is not the grave. Our destiny is heaven itself. We have our own flesh in heaven, a guarantee that Christ, our head, will take us, His members, to Himself in heaven. Christ ascended into heaven and is there right now. What is He doing there? What is Christ doing, having ascended from earth to heaven? Is He simply sitting and waiting for us to join Him? No, our confession reminds us. First, He pleads our cause in heaven in the presence of His Father. Christ's ministry did not end when He went from earth to heaven. His ministry changed. And that's why, if you notice in Acts chapter 1, Luke says, this is a record of all, in my first account, I said all Jesus began to do and teach. The implication is He's still doing more now. Christ right now is in heaven and is active. He's active on our behalf. He is there pleading our own cause in heaven. Christ is our advocate. An advocate, children, is someone who speaks for someone else. Someone who pleads for someone else. We have Christ Himself, the eternal Son of God, pleading for us. What a glory! What a blessing! What a reason to celebrate! He ascended to heaven that He might be there for our good, pleading our cause before the Father. He speaks to the Father, the Son to the Father, the beautiful intimacy of that relationship. And the Father listens to the Son. When I was growing up, my dad was a Christian school teacher, and he taught 5th and 6th grade in a small country school. And all of us kids, at one point, had Dad for our teacher for 5th and 6th grade. We all went through Dad's class. And sometimes, if another student wanted something from Mr. Niemeyer, they would come to one of us kids and say, "Why don't you go ask your dad if we can have the basketballs to play with after school today? Why don't you go ask your dad? We don't want to go. Why don't you go ask your dad? Because he'll listen to you." Christ the Son is our advocate with His Father. The Father listens to the Son. The Father is concerned for the Son. And the Son pleads for you. He's not His own advocate. He's been received by the Father. He's back in heaven once again. He's your advocate. Christ pleads our cause. Christ prays for us in God's presence. Christ pleads, "Don't look upon their sin. Don't look upon their shortcomings. Look instead upon My perfect obedience. I am their advocate. I speak for them. Don't look on all the things they have done that have been against Your holy will. Look at My obedience and the fact that I offered up Myself for them." He's our advocate, pleading our cause in heaven in the presence of His Father. And He is the only advocate. We plead not upon our own works, but upon Christ's finished work. We plead not upon the sacrifices we might offer to God. We plead upon His finished sacrifice. And He is there, pleading for believers, an advocate in God's presence. Do you know that advocate? Is He pleading for you? If you are trying to make your own case with the Father, on your own merits, in your own way, He listens to the Son, to His Son. Jesus Christ must be and is the only advocate for believers. It's Ascension Day. We celebrate our own flesh in heaven. We celebrate an advocate with God the Father Himself. And our confession reminds us, third, He sends His Spirit to us on earth as a further guarantee. By the Spirit's power, we make the goal of our lives not earthly things, but things above where Christ is, sitting at God's right hand. Knowing that Jesus Christ, our head, is now in heaven, it reminds us of who we really are. We belong to Him. We are citizens of His kingdom. That's what Paul says in verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we ultimately belong. Yes, we live here below on earth, but ultimately, we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven that goes all the way into glory. That's where you belong. And so the confession says we make our goal not earthly things. Paul warns about that. About those who put their eyes on the things of this world. Brothers, Join in imitating me, he says, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I told you often and tell you now, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Knowing our true citizenship belongs in heaven, our minds have to be there. Not set only on the things of this world. Paul says, those who have their minds only on the things of this world live as enemies of the cross. Their God is their belly, he says. What an apt description of so many today. Materialism, wanting things, wanting stuff. Our God is our belly, whatever we can hold on to. Our minds are on earthly things, not heavenly. They glory in their shame. Do we even need to point out how that is a description of the world around us, which glories in their shame? The idea of being ashamed of things is even gone. But we glory in our sin. We glory in our depravity. Their minds are set on earthly things. But Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven because Jesus Christ ascended. Our citizenship is there. Right now, we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Not that we will be, it is now in heaven. And so we make our goals, the goals of this life, things that are goals from above, where Christ is sitting at God's right hand. What are our goals in life? Do we work and work and work with our hands so hard that we can amass a certain fortune so we can retire and enjoy the rest of our life? Or do we work and work and work at an ongoing, deeper spiritual relationship with God? What's our focus? What's our goal? Do we work so we can pass on a financial inheritance to our children? Or pass on a spiritual inheritance? One that will never fade away, even if it costs us something. But teaching our children the glories of the gospel, giving them an inheritance that will never fade. Do we want to be the movers and shakers in society? Or is it our goal to humbly serve Christ and serve His church? Paul says, by the Spirit's power, we make the goal of our lives not earthly things, but the things above. Christ ascended. So Paul says, my brothers whom I love and long for, my crown and joy, stand firm in the Lord. The ascension reminds us of the victory of Jesus Christ. The ascension reminds us that the grave was not the end. Yes, He rose again and God received Him back to heaven. Christ has the victory. And we'll talk more about that this coming Lord's Day as we talk about His kingship and the blessings that has for us. But Paul says, stand firm. Don't give in to the world, to worldly passions, to worldly goals. Don't give in to the worldliness where our God is our stomach and we glory in our shame. No, set your mind on Christ. Stand firm in the Lord, my beloved, for Christ has ascended. Children, it's Ascension Day. It is a day to celebrate. To celebrate our future, we have our own flesh in heaven. To celebrate Christ's ongoing ministry, that He's advocating for us, pleading for us. And to commit to setting our hearts and setting our minds, not on earthly things, but on things above, where Christ has ascended. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, how we thank You and praise You for this Ascension Day. What a glorious day to celebrate. Thank you. We can hear once again of how Jesus went from earth to heaven and be reminded of the blessings and benefits that overflow to us. Oh, Lord God, work in our hearts that we respond to this word with a conviction to stand firm in the Lord Jesus Christ. Fill us, equip us by the power of your Spirit that we might seek those things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Remove from us, O God, the worldliness and earthly desires, but help us to know that our destiny is heaven itself with Jesus Christ, the ascended Savior. Hear our prayer, we pray. In His name, amen.